Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Well, good morning. Well, before I preach this morning, I've had the opportunity to invite two friends to come. You know, when Jesus lived on this earth, he only left his home country one time. That was go to Egypt when he was a young kid. The rest of the time, he stayed in the country of Israel, and he never left it. But he said at the end, go to Judea, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. When he said that, where was he standing? He was standing in Israel, right? And he was just right outside of Jerusalem. I think St. Louis was the ends of the earth that he was talking about at that time. Do you realize that you are on mission? You are at the ends of the earth. You have made it to the ends of the earth that Jesus spoke about. If you take a world globe and spin it all the way around, you're about right there. So, if you want to be on mission, we got a great opportunity because we got this city called St. Louis. And St. Louis is going to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. As St. Louis is known as a gateway to the West, it'll be known as a gateway to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Then when people land in our city and they go from gate to gate in the airport, they'll be changed just for coming to our city. They will get home and they'll be healed and they'll say, what happened? I don't know. I landed in St. Louis. There must be something going on there. Marriages will be restored. Why do I say this? In 2019, I was standing back there in the prayer room on a Saturday morning on a February, and God began putting those words in my lips. At that time, I didn't really care about St. Louis. I didn't really think about St. Louis. I've lived here all my life, but I didn't care. But around that time, God also, in 2017, God gave me a word over my life for St. Louis. And I go, and I would drive down Highway 70, I go, God, how are you going to do this? How would you make change in St. Louis? How would an insignificant guy that lives in the country with this little bitty ranch that I had even make an effect in St. Louis? And God started bringing people in my life. And I want to introduce someone today, actually two people. A gentleman named Lucas Rugley came into my life. I got to go to the work that they were doing a few years back with this organization called Gateway to Flourishing that I'm a part of. And Lucas started an organization called Love the Lou. It's a ministry. It's more than an organization because he loves the Lou. He loves St. Louis. And I just want to read you something before I bring him up. If you look up their website, it says this. And I'm only doing reading. I know what his heart is. I'm only reading it so I can express it to you quite well. It says, enriching the lives and environments in North St. Louis by creating where there's nothing, healing where there's brokenness, and joining where there is good. And that's what the heart is, his heartbeat for St. Louis. So Lucas, would you come up? Would you guys welcome him, Lucas Rugley?
All right. My name is Lucas. I grew up in Jackson, Missouri, which is important for you to know because I now live in North City, North St. Louis. My wife and I, four kids, we have been in North St. Louis for 12 years now. And we've been through some stuff. We've seen some stuff. The reason we moved is because we wanted to make a difference. We wanted to tangibly show the love of Jesus. And so we intentionally moved into a neighborhood where we knew they needed good news. There's a phenomenon that happens in North City where the sirens literally stop. And I've never experienced it anywhere else. And I've lived a few places in my life. But what happens is you'll hear a siren off in the distance, and you won't necessarily pay attention to it because that happens all the time. But then you'll hear a second siren from an opposite direction and then a third. And then usually you'll hear like a high-pitched whine of an ambulance and a low horn of like a fire truck. And you'll realize that as they're getting louder and louder and louder, they're coming to where you are and you're at the place of trauma. You're at the spot where the sirens stop. And there are pockets of places throughout the United States where we see this frequently. I think every city kind of has those spots where the sirens stop. My daughter, this was a while back, but she said she's learned how to count sirens as she's falling asleep, and she's timed them, and every 10 minutes there's a siren going off, which means that in North St. Louis, kids aren't counting sheep, they're counting sirens. And when the sirens stop, you know that distress is right outside, it's on the doorstep. You know not to watch the news that night because you're not going to just know the story, you'll know the names attached to the story. It's a tough, tough environment. It's toxic. I didn't come here to talk about bad news. I actually came to talk about good news. So here's some good news for you. Jesus is putting North City back together again.
That's right.
And he ain't quitting.
That's right.
He's not stopping until he's
That's
done.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
You guys, in your life, I don't know where you're at, but he's not quitting on you. He is continually building up his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
He's already started the work. Okay? So we, for the last 12 years, have had a front row seat to what God is doing in an area where most people think that God has left.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it. And it's really exciting.
That's right.
I'm going to give you just a real quick snippet of our story. I wrote a book.
It's right there.
I get a chance to talk about it. It's called When the Sirens Stop. Check this out. The book is kind of about our first years of moving into this neighborhood. And you might assume that it's a bunch of lessons from a white guy about a black neighborhood. And what it actually is a bunch of lessons that I've learned from God through my neighbors in an area where I have had to repent of and to actually see, no, God, you're very much at work. There's some amazing people in North City. Love the Lou got started, and as we were growing, there was a gang that was formed right across the street from me, and the book kind of talks about that. From 2014 to 2016, we were a part of so many drive-by shootings that I just kind of lost count. And the entire gang of 16 to 18-year-old boys was either shot and killed or hauled off to jail. And we lost an entire generation of young men that I felt called to. And at that point, we kind of threw up our hands and we were like, there's no way that we're going to be able to do anything. I have no idea what I'm doing. There's no books on how to stop gangs. At least I didn't read any. And so I kind of gave up. And as I was giving up, I watched my neighbors take over and get their voice back. And that was about 7 years ago. In the last 7 years, we haven't had a shooting death on our block at all. The sirens are literally stopping.
Wow.
And so I know that's a weird statistic, you know, like we haven't had a shooting death in 7 years. But the reason we haven't is because my neighbors have regained their voice, have taken back the neighborhood, and all glory goes to God.
Yeah.
And it's a really incredible thing for me to be able to sit back and to still demonstrate good news, to be able to like pass out bottled water when needed and throw block parties. And we will take like vacant lots and turn them into gardens and just all kinds of tangible actions of love that we can and try to preach with our hands. And yet at the same time, the voices that are coming through are these people of peace that we've met. And so I want to introduce to you one of them. Tamisha, come on up. I could brag about Tamisha for a solid hour. I could go 60 minutes bragging about Tamisha. We don't have time, so I won't. I'm going to hand the mic over to Tamisha, and I want to let I want her to let you know about a project that she's gotten started called BrickCityShop.com, which is where you can buy the book, but it's also something that she's been involved in as well. So.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tamisha. I'm really nervous right now, so please bear with me. I got connected to North City. I was in a shelter because I got injured at FedEx, and I lost my house, all that stuff, and going through all those big systems, trying to get disability, getting lawyers and all that stuff, it did make me lose faith in people, you know? And with working in all those big systems, I wanted to give back to people that's my age, you know, that's young and that don't have nobody by their side, you know? And sometimes we do feel like giving up because, you know, older people, you know, sometimes, you know, always want to tell us what to do. And, you know, we don't want to listen at times. But having a young person walking beside you, you know, can give you the courage to keep going. And, you know, knowing that hard stuff can happen, you know. And I'm sorry, y'all, I'm rambling. But
you're doing great.
Pretty much I just want to let you guys know that I wanted to give back to my community. I just wanted to get back to my community because I just saw that we didn't have resources to get through it. And pretty much I started a website called BrickCityShop.com, and it's to promote and market North City entrepreneurs, all the good stuff that is happening. You know, we have creatives, we have artists, you know, we have photographers and some more, people who design clothes. And a lot of that is of quality, you know, and I wanted to share that with everybody because there is good stuff that's happening, and I wanted to showcase that. I hope you guys like it. You guys get to get an insight into some of the entrepreneurs' lives and what they went through so you guys can be connected to them. And maybe, you know what I'm saying, I really want you guys to know that in the future, Brick City is going to be a big thing for North City and something positive. So I do want you guys to remember that, Brick City Shop. Because when you guys go to North City, y'all going to see very beautiful things. Y'all going to see people working and cutting hair and, you know, doing positive stuff. And I just want you guys to look forward to it. Thank you.
Stay here. Stay here. We don't have to go across the water. We just have to go across the street to spread the good news. The reason I invited Guy up here, Guy's in business, okay? And he is a brilliant mind with marketing, and you're a brilliant mind with business. And I'd just like him to pray over you and the gifting that God's given you. I saw him looking at you as you were speaking. I told her she had 30 seconds or a minute, and she's like, okay, I'll do 30 seconds. She went on for like, what, 4 hours? You are a brilliant speaker. Would you pray over her?
Oh, Father, we just thank you that your spirit is alive and active every single place on this earth, that there's not one single spot that's missed, and that all those spots look exactly the same to you, because they need more of you. So, Father, we're just praying for more of you today in Tamisha's life, Lord, that your goodness would flow through her into that community.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
That your reach would be there, and that she would be your hands. That's something Stephen here always says.
Yeah.
But just that she would be your goodness evident to the people in that community who need it. That she would be evident beyond that community. Father, that you would do a special work in her life. That you would just bless her. That you would put your favor all over her. That everywhere she steps, good things would happen.
That's right.
That you would just supersede what she expects. Mm-hmm. What she sees in her head, I want you to just multiply that. That's what we pray for Tamisha, Father. We believe along with her, and we just pray your goodness on her life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So, Derek, why did you bring him up here? Because sometimes we drive down Highway 70 and we're scared to get death to get off of King's Highway. We're scared to go into Van Deventer. We're scared to get off at Grand. We're scared to go into these places because it's just different. It's different. But I want to tell you, the people that live on King's Highway and Grand and Van Deventer, they're scared to come out here because it's different. We are people, and there are people there who love God with all their heart, and they're reaching their community. There's people here who love God with all their heart, and they're reaching their community. But, you know, sometimes to walk out that door is scary. Sometimes it's fearful. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
So today, guess what I'm going to speak on? This slide, please. Fear not. So, Guy has taught me something in business. And Guy and I work for the same company. And Guy's taught me something in business, and it's called impressions. You do so many impressions, and then people buy your product. So I'm going to leave this up the whole time, okay? And as you'll know this, there's Bible verses all over it. And if you brought a pen and paper, if you brought a phone, you can write down some of these because there's 365 verses in the Bible that says, fear not, or do not fear. And if there's 365 verses in the Bible that says that, why did God do that? Because he wants us to remember on a daily basis, do not fear.
That's good.
Do not fear on a daily basis. There is no worry that should consume you. There is no fear that should consume you. I skipped over one thing. I did not call Lucas in to plug his book. He would not do that, and by no means. This is just so that the story of St. Louis gets out and they understand when the sirens stop. But do two things for me today with Lucas, because I know you guys love the heartbeat of what God is doing in our city. Buy this book. We got some out on the table, and here's what we're going to do. We're doing a buy one, get one today. Marketing, buy one, get one. If you buy this, you're going to get my book for free. And if you've already got my book, give it to someone else. And it's called Live and Let Go. But if you buy this one today, why? Because I want you to get this story. I don't want any reason that every one of us don't walk out with this book. The second thing is, fill that man and that woman's hands full of cash today.
Amen.
Fill them with cash. Let us plant well into what is going on in our city. So those are just two requests that I have today. So, fear not. You know, the Bible tells us not to fear, but then it says fear God. You know, the fear of God. That is a reverence of God. That's a, fearing God is a reverence of who he is. He is the creator of all things. He is the mighty God. He could do what he wills anytime he wants. And so I fear him as a reverence. But then there's the fear, which is the spirit of fear, and that is wickedness. That is wicked. That's a wicked spirit that comes upon us and it tries to put things in our head that is not true. It's false evidence of appearing real is actually the acronym for fear. Funny thing is, a few years ago, someone asked me, they said, who's your favorite Bible character, Eric? Derek? Don't even know my name. I'm looking down here and I see my favorite Bible character, and it's not Eric. It's Enoch. Enoch is my favorite Bible character. Why? Because he walked with God and then he was no more. Since I was a little boy, I heard that. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. What was that relationship like? Yeah. There's only three or four men that I know, or people in the Bible that I know, that they say walked with God and he was no more, like a Moses, like Enoch. And so this year, what I wanted to do, I wanted to walk with God. I'm still here, though. Just so you know, I'm still here. I want to walk with God. So I take 30 to 40 to 50 minutes every day and I walk with God. Some days I miss it. A couple weeks I've missed it this year. But I walk with God. And I started it on January 1st. And around the 1st of February, I'm walking at 9:30 at night. There's 6 inches of snow on the ground. It's coming down. And I tell the Lord, I'm going to go for a walk. And I'm walking. And I walk along this road. And this snowplow has come flying by me, blowing snow. And I'm just walking along with my coat and my gloves and everything. And I'm just praying in the spirit as I go. And then I hear him turn around and he comes back at me. And he's barreling down on me. He's coming. And I wanted to look back. And God said, don't look back. And I wanted to look back. And I'm walking. And he said, don't look back. And everything inside of me wanted to turn around and go, I'm going to get nailed by the snowplow. And he said, don't look back. And right before it got to me, it turned down another road and went the other way. And he said, do you remember Lot's wife? I told her not to look back. And she looked back. Why did she look back? And I said, well, everybody preaches she looks back because she is concerned about what she left behind. And he said, I don't think that's true. He said, Lot's wife looked back because she was afraid that what was happening behind her would consume her,
oh, wow,
would take over her. The noises that were all around her would take over her. She looked back because she took her eyes off where I was taking her. She looked back in fear of what was behind her, as opposed to looking forward and say, I called you to the city, I saved your life, I grabbed your whole family, and I'm running, want you to run towards this. And I dared not look back. I turned the corner. I'm like, I walk like this. I was scared to death. When I was walking in the snow, this fear that I heard consumed me, and then I started thinking about the noises that we hear going around us that consume us. The noises of gas prices going up. I can't do this anymore. recession's coming. I'm telling you, I've heard for a year and a half, recession's coming, and it hasn't come yet. I don't know. Layoffs, why get laid off? Last year, our company had to do two layoffs. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I still got the names of the people that no longer have a job at our place. But what about you? Are you scared of the layoffs that are going on? Sickness and disease, the war in Europe, Trump indicted, Biden doing this. Can I tell you something? Fox News and CNN are businesses that sell marketing. They sell fear. I'm telling you, they sell fear. Don't listen to them. Don't look at it. It's good to catch up every once in a while and go, oh, I wonder what's going on. You know, it's good to know that a hurricane's coming in and we can pray for somebody. Don't get consumed in this. Just let it glaze over your eyes. It is marketing, correct? It's a business. They look for the algorithm of what you're watching and they feed it to you over and over more and more. Social media, the same thing. Drop it. Race wars is going to consume us. I don't know. I'm finding more and more people that love each other. Yeah. I find more and more people that are running to each other that are of different skin color is what I'm seeing. But that's not what the news is telling us. They stir this stuff up. I find more and more police officers that love the black community than I find that are idiots that do stupid stuff. Yeah. The border crisis. The next COVID, I promise you, you're going to see in 45 days that there's a new COVID. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying that the news is going to hype it up because they're going to sell some marketing because we're coming into flu season. Okay? They're going to hype it up. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying it gets overhyped, the fear that's out there. What about school teachings of wicked things? What about transsexualism? What about all these things that are taking place? Are you concerned? Are you worried? Are you in fear? I'm not. Because on heaven, as it on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, that's what Jesus taught us to pray. On earth as it is in heaven. Could the church actually be so fearful of what's going on around us that we've lost sight of the prize? Could the church actually be listening to these things that we've lost sight of the prize of thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's exactly what Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We're focusing on escapism from this earth into some other place they call heaven. And God says, restore. He says, I've given you all authority. Go do the work. Yeah. It says in the Bible that he's given each of us good works to do before time.
Amen.
I was waiting for that, Mark.
says,
forgetting what lies behind, we press on to what's ahead. We are not like Lot's wife. We do not listen to the noises around us. We are to live in this world, but we're not to be a part of it. Tom has been speaking. Okay, what character has been Tom speaking of in the last 2 weeks? Huh? David, correct, David. And I think it's really cool because last week I'm sitting there and I told Tom what I was going to speak on, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know, 5-6 months ago, and he started speaking. I'm like, that turkey's going to steal my preaching next week. I know. Well, I'm going to have to come up with something new. And he skipped past it. And I said, thank you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to speak on King David this morning. Will you allow me 20 minutes? Will you allow me 20 minutes? Because if you allow me 20 minutes, what Deborah said today is going to come to pass for those that need it. There's people here right now that are in desperate fear of tomorrow. Yeah. There's people here that were in desperate fear of tomorrow, and you're being healed right now of that fear. Amen. And what I'm going to tell you today is actually going to bring a restoration to your mind for tomorrow. David was a man that when he was a little boy, as we all know, a prophet came and he anointed David king, okay? David grew up. He went to feed his brothers one day, saw this big dude named Goliath, kills Goliath, knocks off his head. They carry it around. David and the rest of the Israelites run and chase the Philistines. They conquer the Philistines. David comes back. Saul says, will you come serve in my court? He says, yes, I'll come serve in your court. He plays a little harp. all of a sudden the women start singing a real fun song that Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his tens of thousands. And then Saul gets jealous. The jealousy builds up inside of him. Saul takes a spear, throws it at David a couple different times while David's playing the harp. David becomes best friends with Jonathan, Saul's son. They make this pact. Jonathan says, I love you. I see the anointing on you. As you go, I will follow. Then David says, your dad's trying to kill me. He says, no, I don't think so. He says, yes, he is. He said, okay, we're going to go to a meal tonight. And at that meal, if my dad gets angry, then I'll know that he's going to try and kill you. David, don't show up. You wait in the field. I'll give you a warning. If for some reason I actually find out my dad's going to kill you. He goes and he sits down for this meal. David's seat is empty. Saul says, where's David? And Jonathan says, well, he's on official business. He's not here right now. And Saul says, that guy, you guys are always conspiracing against me. And this is actually what it says in the Bible. I'm going to try and hold my language. It says to his son, Jonathan, he says, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman. The Bible is very graphic. That's what Saul called his own son, Jonathan, who was heir to the throne. Jonathan goes outside. He had a deal with David. He said, there's a stone way far away. If I shoot an arrow to the right of it, then my dad has favor for you. Come on in. If I shoot it past it, my dad's going to kill you. You better run. And he takes it back and he shoots the arrow, goes past the rock. David goes, thank you. David goes on the run. As David goes on the run, now Israel is chasing him. It's Israel because it's represented by Saul. Saul represents all of Israel. Everybody has to obey what Saul says. So all of Israel now is coming to kill David. I mean, when Saul goes out, it's not just Saul. It's the armies of Israel come to kill David. Okay? David flees. Where does David flee? He flees after 7 years. He goes to the Philistine city. He goes to a Philistine city of Gath. When he gets there, he sees a king called Achish. When David comes into the city, they welcome him in because they think he's a defector, but they don't know quite who he is yet. When they find out he's David, then David starts going, oh man, I am in trouble. So David acts like a madman. Drool comes down his beard. He gets crazy. And then King Achish goes, I got enough madmen. Why do I need another one? David's on the flee. You think the guy's not in fear now? He's got now his own countrymen coming after him, and his enemy now know who he is. They're coming after him. I don't know what to do. And he runs into a cave. It's called the Cave of Adullam. When he gets there, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 and 2, it says, David left Gath and escaped to the caves of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there, and all those who were distressed or in debt or discontented, gathered around him, and he became their leader, about 400 with him. Thank you, Jesus. You brought me all the discouraged and in debt and disgruntled. Wow, what encouraging. And I'm in a stinking cave with no place to go. A cave, I don't know if you know it, usually has a back to it. You don't get to go anywhere, but you're going to run in this massive cave about this size of a room. You're going to run in and go, the only way out is that way. I can't go out the back. I got to go that way. So he's in this cave. And he's with everybody who's in debt. And then all of a sudden, the discontent, those that are in debt, those that are discouraged, those that are worrying, those that hear that COVID's going to get them, those that are hearing that all these things are happening, that the economy's falling, come to David and go, you're our leader. And he goes, I'm more scared than you guys are. And he writes this beautiful psalm. Psalm 34, in the cave of Adullam, in the lowest of lows of his life. And when you're in fear, when you're scared to step out, and you're scared to go, and you're scared of the noises that are all around you, this is what you do. You do what David did. And I'm going to read it in the NIV, and then I'm going to break it down out of another translation. It says in the NIV, and you can put up Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look on him are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him and he saved him of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, all you saints. For those who fear him will lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you of the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut even the memory of them from the face of the earth. The righteous cry out, though, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. And this psalm is called God's goodness because in the cave of Adullam, David remembers God's goodness. He doesn't wallow on worry about what's going on. My wife is probably laughing because I always say funny words. I get them twisted up. He doesn't worry about what's going on around him. No, he remembers the God in him, who he is. Mark prayed an amazing prayer of God today. If you guys missed the 8:30 prayer times, I'm so sorry. They're absolutely amazing. But Mark prayed an incredible prayer and a word from God today that we would remember who we are and where we are. And this is where Psalm 34 starts. And this is what I've read over and over since the 1st of January when I walk. I've tried to memorize it. I'm almost there. Slow learner. It says, Lord, I'm bursting with joy for all you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. When you are in fear and you run to the cave and you run in, you don't know what to do, remember this. Lord, I'm bursting with joy for all you've done. Because I would have never thought you would have brought me this far in my life. Right. I would have never thought. I was standing in the shower 10 days ago, worried. Literally, guys, I have had so much worry over the last 60 days over my life. That is not true. Literally this morning, I heard that John Hooker got COVID, and I'm worried I'm going to get COVID because I'm going to leave on Tuesday. And like it's on my mind this morning. I'm like, no, stop. I remember of where you brought me. You've healed me. I had a 10% chance of living, and you brought me here. God, I would have never thought in my life that I'd be standing here today, but you brought me here. God, you are good, and my lips are full of perpetual praise. Chat number two, I'm bursting with joy for all your works and all you've done. Why? So that those that are in distress may take heart. Why am I saying this, God? Why do I go out and talk about the good news so that those that are around me that are discouraged may take heart? Why do I speak the good news when I'm out in work? Because that those that are discouraged may take heart. Why do I say good news to the lady at QT so that if she's discouraged, she takes heart? Why do I be nice to the lady at the post office? Because if she's discouraged, I don't know what's going on in her life, that she may take heart. I'm on mission wherever I go so that those that are discouraged may take heart. Number three, David says, join with me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make his name famous. Let's make his name glorious in all the land. He says, when you get to these times, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's make his name famous. Let's forgetting about what's going on around us, but let's press on what's ahead of us. Let's forget about the noises we hear and let's press on. Then he says, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me from all of my fears. When you cry out to God, he's going to answer you from all of your fears. Which ones will he not answer? He's going to answer you of all your fears, of all of them. Is there one sin in your life that God will not answer? No, there's nothing. He wants to answer all of them. And then he says this, how do you do it? How do you cry out to him? How do you reach for that? You gaze upon him. Yeah. You join your life with his, and then joy will come. And you will never wear the shame face again. You will never wear the shame face again. Your face will actually glisten with glory. People will see this radiance on you. I see it all over Tamisha. Do you guys see it all over Tamisha? This radiance that's on this woman of what God has done in her life. She would have never probably thought a few years ago, she would be here in St. Peter's speaking in front of a bunch of white people telling them how good God is. I mean, I'm serious. And she doesn't have to be ashamed of anything. No past, no future, no present. She will never wear the shame face. We will never wear the shame face again. We love you, Tamisha. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me, bringing his miraculous deliverance when I needed it the most. Have you ever been desperate and defeated? You don't know what to do. I caught a glimpse of a person's face just now, and I know that they went through a lot a couple years ago over a loss of a job and a move. And they're no longer desperate and defeated, but God's got good for them. God's got good for them. And I'm not looking at them, so you don't know who I looked at. And here's what happens. This is my favorite verse, verse 7. When we cry out to God, this is what happens. This is what David saw, but you get more than David had, because you have something else David didn't have. It says, the angel of the Lord stooped down, put his ear to David's mouth, and listened as he prayed. But what you got is the Holy Spirit living in you. The angel of the Lord is with you at all times. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. That's what the Holy Spirit is. We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to come in. He's with us at all times. Amen. We can ask for more of his presence. We can ask for more of him in faith. But he's with you at all times. And it says that he encircled David. He empowered him. And then he showed him the way of escape. And he'll do it for everyone who fears the Lord. Yeah. What did he do? He circled him. And he goes, nope, this one's mine. David, got you, buddy. This one's mine. Back off. This one's protected by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is my servant, David. I got him. David, I got you encircled. And now, remember who you are, David. Remember, I've called you to be king. I know you're not there, but keep your eyes ahead of you. Don't listen to the noises behind you. Keep your eyes going forward. David, you're to be king. David, I have chosen you. David, from you will come the Messiah. David, from you, some guy will talk 2,800 years from now about you. David, I've got you. You are mine and I am yours. And then he tells us the same thing. You know what he tells us? Who we are when he encircles and empowers us? He tells us, you are mine. You're heir to the throne. You are seated in heavenly places with the Father. You have the mind of Christ. Your big brother is sitting at the right hand making intercession for you on a daily basis. And then all of a sudden you go, that's what I didn't see before. And this has happened to me over and over in the last year and a half, is all of a sudden when I get worried and fear, I know, oh God, you got to get me. You got to have me. And he goes, I got you. And I go, God, tell me who I am. And he tells me who I am. And then I go, oh my gosh, that's the way of escape. That's something we didn't see before. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He encircles, empowers us, and he shows us the way of escape. It says, drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn and hide themselves in him. Worship in awe and wonder all you who have been made holy, for all who fear him will feast with plenty. Who here wants to feast with plenty? Oh, Psalm 23 says you can. It says he prepares a feast before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Put your hand up again if you want to feast with plenty. Psalm 23 says you can. Today, right now, you feast with plenty. All those who fear him. See, but you may go, but hang on. You know the lottery that just happened? It was $1.5 billion. God, if you just let me get it, I'll keep 1% and I'll give you 99%. I can live on the 1%. I mean, that's $15 million or $150 million, something like that. God, I could live on $15 million and you would get the rest. Or, God, if you just make me whole and well. God, I want to be the healthiest guy. I want to be as good looking as Greg Maurer. God, just if I was that good looking and I could do what he does, God, I know I'd be healthy. Well, here's what it says. Even the strong and wealthy grow weak and hungry. Even the strong and wealthy grow weak and hungry. The strong become weak and the wealthy become hungry. But those who passionately pursue the Lord lack no good thing. Amen. It says, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Yes, I'm preaching a prosperity message. We are to be prosperous both in spirit, soul, and financially, because Abraham was. And my daddy owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Yeah. And I get to use them anytime I want. I can sell some of them too. It says, come, children of God, and listen to me. I'll share the lessons I've learned of fearing the Lord. David says this. Do you want to live a long, good life? Enjoying the beauty that fills each day? Who here wants to live a long, good life? I got to deal with God. I'm going to live to be 90 and feel like 40. Come see me when I'm 90. Actually, come see me when I'm 120. Because I'll need another 30 years to kind of tone down, okay? But I really do. I tell everybody, I got to deal with God that I'm live to be 90. I'm going to live at least, when I'm 90, I'm going to feel like I'm 40. Because he's got me. And I want to live a long, good life. I want to see the beauty that fills each day. That's why I walk. I want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yeah. We are the land of the living wherever we go. I want to see the waters cover the sea. And it says, do you want to do this? Then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. I don't tell lies. What are you hiding? What did your wife and you argue about? And then when someone asks you, how you doing? You go, oh, good. What did you watch on the internet that no one else knows about? I've been there. Lies, wicked words. Trump's horrible. Biden's worse. Wicked words. The things that we say against other people, even people in the church. I am so sorry, I'm going to say a name and it's going to spark something in everybody's mind. Joel Osteen. Okay? You just thought something. Okay? Wicked words if it comes against the man. It's a wicked word. It doesn't matter if you like him, don't like him, if you think something. Because I've heard people speak against him. I've never met the guy. I couldn't say anything good or bad. I've never talked to him. I don't know him. I know Guy. I can tell you everything about Guy. All good things. It is, because I love the man. But I don't know these other guys. I don't know Donald Trump. I hear news. I hear things said. But those are wicked things that come out of our mouth. If we want to enjoy the beauty that fills each day, be quiet. Keep turning your back on every sin. And this is my wife. Everyone look at my wife, Laura. Because I want to totally embarrass her. She's a beautiful one, second row back, white shirt. Her life's motto is peace. Amen. If you want to enjoy the beauty that fills each day, make your life motto peace. My wife said that a few years ago when we're sitting with Tom and Randy, and I'm like, that's so true. She brings peace wherever she goes. The next line says, practice being at peace with everybody. It doesn't say that you can, it says practice it. If you want to get rid of these fears, if you want to fear not, practice being at peace with everyone. The lady that gives you a frappuccino when you're supposed to get a cappuccino and you're late for work. It's your fault you got up late. It's not her fault. It's not your fault. You don't need to pay $8 for a cup of coffee. Lucas will take your $8 like that, give a cup of coffee to someone else. But no, don't let wicked words come out of your mouth. Practice being at peace with everyone. The Lord sees all we do, and he watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. When do we receive it? Whenever we cry out to him. But Lord, I don't see the solution. I don't see the healing. I don't see this coming. I don't see my job. No, he answers your prayer when you seek him. Though the result may not be in the physical, he answers your prayer. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, he longs to answer our prayer. Verse 21 says, and you'll hear a little voice behind you say, this is the way, walk in it. Yet when the lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to those whose hearts are crushed in pain. There's some of you who your heart is crushed in pain. You've been mistreated. You've been lied about. You've been misjudged. And we just had a family here who lost their daddy couple weeks ago, a wife who lost her husband, who's crushed in pain. And God's going to be with them. If you're here today and you're crushed in pain, he's got you. There's people that are sitting here right now, and he wants you to know, I've got you. I love you. It's okay. It's not true what they said about you, because you are heir to my throne. You're queens and kings. And he's always ready to restore the repentant one. If there's some of you that are just feeling a little guilty right now over some of the things maybe I said, maybe some of the things that Holy Spirit is moving in you, it's okay. He's ready to restore the repentant one. He's ready to say, it's okay, just turn your back on sin. I'm not going to do that anymore. I will not do that anymore. And don't worry about what other people say about what you're turning your back on, because you've got to get it out of your life. It has to come out. God will be your bodyguard to protect you when trouble is near. Not one bone will be broken. But he does say this of the wicked, and I want to hit on this, and I'm getting real close to wrapping up. He says, but the wicked will commit slow suicide. For they hate and persecute the lovers of God. Make no mistake about it. God will hold them guilty and punish them. They will pay the penalty. There is a day of judgment. It's not spoken about too much from the pulpit anymore. But I want to tell you, there's a day of judgment that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and judgment will come. Yeah. And he will judge the wicked for the way they've walked and the righteous for the way they've walked. And if you are walking with the Lord, yours is the reward of being in relationship with him for eternity. If you're not, yours is judgment to hell. Yeah. I am so sorry. And you get a decision today. You get this decision to fear not the future. You get eternal life forevermore. You get hope that you never knew you had. You get your changed life that you never had. God has changed my life. In 2019, at November 5th at 11:45, changed my life forever. I'd been in the church for all my life, coming to church, doing things up here, preaching. But that day, I had always been saved, but that day I made him the Lord of my life, that there was nothing hid in my life anymore. Today is your day of salvation. It says in verse 22, it says, but the Lord has paid for the freedom of his servants, and he will freely pardon those who love him. It's amazing that David wrote this. Now, I know this is the Passion Translation, but it's amazing that David wrote this. So many years, hundreds of years, maybe a thousand years before Jesus Christ walked this earth. Because you know how God paid for your freedom? He sent his only son. He had this seed in this woman, and he took a godly sperm, and he connected the two, and he created this man, Christ Jesus, who was a little baby and grew up into a man. And he walked the earth for 30 years, and on his 30th birthday, I don't know, but somewhere around his 30th year, he was baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he began his ministry. He was always ministering. He was always God up to that point. It wasn't like a transition at that time. He was always God, always man. But something changed that day to show us when the Holy Spirit comes on us, something changes. And for 3.5 years, he walked this earth. And then he gave up his life for the sins that we commit. But the story doesn't end there. Praise God. He went down into hell and he says, take them. Take the keys. I got the keys. Release all of them. They're coming with me. Those who have been judged rightly, there's your eternal reward in hell. But those that are the righteous, the Moses, the Aarons, those who have went before, come with me. Let's go up to heaven. And he takes them all. And we know this because it says that as they passed through Jerusalem, that they saw many of these saints of old walking the streets of Jerusalem, people they didn't see for years. And then they go on to heaven. And then Jesus takes his throne. He sits down at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. And he says, now we'll rule. But he says, hang on, God. Or he says, hang on, Father. He says, those are our righteous ones. Those are the ones we love. Those are my brothers. Let's give them the keys. And he reaches down with the Holy Spirit and he gives us the keys of the kingdom with all authority to rule and reign everywhere we go. Right. Fear not. Because now you have the authority everywhere you go. We can go down to King's Highway. We can go down to Grand. We can go down to Arsenal. And we don't have to fear. We have hope that our city's going to change. The people down there are going to see the hope of the glory of the Lord fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Last verse. He will declare you free and innocent when you turn and you hide yourselves in him. You have an opportunity today to turn and hide yourselves in him. It says, fear not, so this is there, fear not, for the Lord is gracious to us when we cry for help. He is longing to show us the way of escape and which way to go. So Derek, how do you fear not? How do you do this when fear comes on you? Oh, it's so simple. You know that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Yeah. King Hezekiah had an army coming against him. And it said that he threw himself face to the ground and he called a fast. And he says, I don't know what to do, God, but my eyes are on you. The noises are all around me and I have no clue how to get through this, but God, my eyes are on you. And then a young priest stands up and he says, King Hezekiah, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. And then all the people begin worshiping God that afternoon and that evening. The next day they go out to battle and they're ready. They don't know what's going on. They're stepping out on King's Highway and they're like, I don't know what to do. And all these 280,000 soldiers are dead, his enemies before him. And it took 3 to 4 days to pick up all the plunder because they feasted with plenty. Because in the presence of the enemy, God made this table. And he goes, what did you need? They've got it all for you. Just take some time to pick it all up. And the whole Israelite army spent 3 days picking up all the plunder. Remember, when you fear, remember, the battle's not yours. All you have to do is bow the knee and go, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm keeping my eyes on you. Remember who Jesus is and fear not. Do it in worship as Hezekiah did. You know, my nephew, and I'm wrapping up with this, my nephew had two little babies born to them. My nephew, when he was 20 years old, had cancer and wasn't allowed to have kids. Now they got 5. Praise God. Don't know how that happens, God. He had two little babies, one little girl, one little boy. Mom, when were they born? November the 5th last year. The Bradley's little baby, boy and girl, November 5th. The little girl, I think it was one night, right after she's born, got limp like she was dead, and they rushed her to the hospital. She was gonna die. And they put worship music on in the room for weeks. And that little girl is running around today. You think mommy and daddy were scared? Scared out of their mind. But they knew this. They knew who they were in Christ, and they knew what he could do. And they said, we're gonna worship him. We're gonna worship him. I'm standing on this ground, and we're going to worship him. We're going to play worship music, and don't come in here unless you know who our God is, and you're going to worship him with us. So what do you do when you face fear? You worship him. I'm going to play a video here in a second, and then we're going to do a worship song. But this video is the way that one man introduces Jesus to a crowd, to remember who he is, what he's done. And what I want you to do is respond during this video by standing up and getting in worship when the Spirit of the Lord prompts you to do it. It's going to be popcorn around here. You don't have to do it all at once. But I just want you to listen to what Steve Harvey says and how he introduces this Jesus. Can we play the video? And the worship team, feel free to come up. We're going to play a worship song afterwards.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He had out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the rose of Sharon, and some say he's the prince of peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming.
Thank you, Father! Thank you, Father! Thank you, Father! We praise you, Lord! We praise you, God! Thank you, Lord!
Father, you've been good to us. Jesus, we want to say thank you this morning. You have been kind to us. Oh, Father, where we could have been in our lives, and you give us the opportunity to be with you today. Lord, I am amazed at you. Lord, we worship you to remember all that you've done for us. Our lips are going to be full of perpetual praise. Lord, we thank you that fear has been broken today. Lord, we thank you that discouragement has been broken today. Lord, we thank you that our debts that were owed are broken today. Lord, we thank you that our testimony was when I was discouraged, I cried out to you and you answered me and you freed me from all my fears. Lord, you have been kind to us. Oh my gosh, God, we just want to say we love you. We love you, God. Father, we say thank you. I just pray a blessing on everyone here today, God, in the name of Jesus, that your light would shine as we walk out the door, that you would make our ears, we speak to our ears right now, and we say, be sensitive to hear what the Father is saying. Yeah. Eyes, be sensitive to see what he's doing. Amen. Mind, remember those things that he's spoken to us. Lord, we pray a protection over our ears for the noises that are all around us. Lord, that our eyes would only be on you. Amen. Father, and our voice would be your voice from the throne room of heaven. In Jesus' name. I just want to offer you an opportunity today. Towards the end, I said that you can make the decision today to walk with God. There's two people here today, two different type of people. One, you've never made that decision. Two, you just haven't been walking the walk you know you should be. I'm going to ask you to come up and talk with Mark today. Mark, just raise your hand a second. Mark up here. He'll walk you through this. Mark travels all over the world preaching the gospel. He loves to pray for people to see Jesus. And if you just need more prayer, you need to confess something in your life, there's a prayer team up here that are a safe place. And they can pray over you. And they can help you break through those things that have once bound you, because today you're free. So if we'd ask the prayer team to come forward. Father, we just want to say thank you for this week. Lord, we thank you for speaking today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming today and just being present with us. Lord, we bless this week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remember, buy Lucas's book.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.